Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. And find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. So, do you think you understand what is going on with the stock market? I can assure you I do not. I have no idea. So I have brought the mountaintop to the table here today to give us their great wisdom. I actually, you know, I'm very glad that Justin and Kendall Anderson are here. Neither one of them has jumped out of the second floor window yet. They're doing okay. And basically, they're going to tell us it is what it is, and we're just going to ride the roller coaster. How are you, Kendall?
I'm doing great, Manny. How are you?
I'm all right. Tell everybody a little bit about you, who hasn't had a chance to listen to you.
Well, I'm his dad. And Manning says it's a mountaintop. That's because Justin's 6'8". You know, he's a mountain of a man.
We got a pretty tall table here.
You got a pretty tall table.
Yeah, we do have a tall table. I've been in the investment business for over four decades. Lived through many, many crises and panics. This one is a little different, but it's psychologically pretty close to the same as all past panics. You know, Justin has started and became a partner in this business 15 years ago, and he's now the president and my boss, so I'm happy to listen to him.
How's that working out?
Yeah, and my daughter does work with us, too. She's a CFP. She does most of our planning and highly technical type legal work that needs to be done with our firm, too. So,
and let us not leave out Craig Ferguson.
And we can't leave out Craig, because Craig is the person that does all the work, and we do a few hours of thinking every day.
He's been in the industry quite a long time, too.
Yeah, he's probably been over three decades now, and he had a lot of experience and is also some good guidance during this time period.
All right, so it's no big news flash that the market goes up and down. It's been more down than up. Down today. What are you telling people when they pick up the phone and say, what should I do? What is going on? Give me some insight into this.
Well, as Justin knows, we hope we have planned for a good portion of this over the last few years. However, planning for this fast and this massive of drawdown is something that no one can plan for. You know, we do know, and I say we do know, we don't know for with 100% certainty, but I think the majority of this sell-off is probably taking place. Another 10 or 20% is feasible, but we're down 30% from its high. In past recessions, that tends to be about the average decline in common stock prices. This one may be a little bit different because we can't see the end yet. But once it's said and done, you know, businesses continue. Like I have to remind everybody, we got 7.5 billion people in this world. You know, they need to eat. You know, they're probably going to go from place to place. They got to feed themselves, clothe themselves, cover their head. And that isn't going to change, you know, from this.
Well, I agree. The one thing that I think is a well-known fact about the stock market is it just does not like the word uncertainty. And whenever there's a blip, whatever the blip is, it might be a Middle East crisis, it might be this this coronavirus, you name it what it is, the president didn't comb his hair the right way today. I mean, it just seems to react. And in this case, the uncertainty, we don't have a virus, I mean, we don't have a vaccine yet. I mean, all this kind of stuff just weighs into what's going on, correct?
Well, yeah, you are correct. And I think the biggest concern people have is since we don't know the end point, we don't know the cost of prevention, it's very, very difficult to value any business, which you'd traditionally, the way we would value, is on future cash flow. Well, we have no knowledge of what that future cash flow is going to be, you know, and the estimates range all over everywhere, and that alone will scare people. You know, our thoughts is we have to withstand at least a 10 to 20% reduction in growth. know,
it's
I've heard
growth in profits.
Growth in profits, and it could be as much as 40% loss in profits. But you take that into consideration while you're walking through this, knowing full well that we're going to recover at some point in time.
And just to back to that uncertainty figure, what we're talking about, you know, when there are no certainties in what we're envisioning from the future, we have our brains have no thing to stop us and hit us in the head and let us bring us back to reality. And so what we do is we go all the way to the end, all the way to the worst case scenario. It's what we do as people. Without any little bit of certainty in our projections, we go to the end, and it's the end of the world. But I've seen this in little blips and pieces of certainty that it reaches the market, especially at the individual company level. All right, we all have the idea that grocery stores are doing pretty good right now, and a couple of companies have released earnings recently because they were late in the schedule. They come out and they say, look, we don't exactly know what's going to happen going forward. We don't know what the coronavirus is going to do, but this is what we've earned, and this is how good our profits have been, and those companies have done well on days even when it's really bad. And it doesn't even matter if it's a positive number, if they're saying our projections are this, but you actually see what the projection is. That gives us faith in the future that, oh, so it's not zero. You mean the company's not going out of business. Right. And that kind of it reorganizes our head, gets us going in the right direction.
And you have to do that,
yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of speculation both on the upside and the downside, and that changes. And, of course, common stocks look far out into the future. They don't look at today or yesterday. They look into the future, and people make judgment calls on that, unless it's a computer trading things on blips and ups and downs. Right. And I hope they all lose money, those people. So if they do, maybe they'll quit doing what they're doing.
Historically, if you look at that graph about how the market has done over the last 100 years, it's just a series of ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs, but it seems to track at a 30-degree angle, which means it's constantly moving in the right direction despite all these
sure.
ups and downs.
Well, we've had long-term growth of GDP. We've had long-term population growth. And as we said before, that people need things to survive, and all businesses are in business to serve the needs of other people in one form or another. And I don't think that's going to change any, you know, especially in this country. And it's just a matter of reinvesting the profits. And you do a little bit of math, you can see that. Total return on capital has been that 8 or 9% range for as long as I can remember. And there you go. Common stocks have earned 8 to 9% per year historically on average for many years. And that takes into consideration all kinds of ups and downs. And I will tell people this if they're listening. The majority of my excess money that I personally have is from buying in the middle of recessions, buying when everybody is scared to death, and buying great individual companies when those opportunities present themselves. And I think, you know, rationally, whether you think it or not, but rationally, there are some very real bargains out there today. And it's just a matter of how your portfolio is structured and whether you can afford to own any of those or not for a year, 2 or 3 or 4 years.
And Manny, we can look back and you can see those downs when you look back at that long track history of the stock market, and you can actually point to viruses on those downs. And I just want to say this, so far, here we are today, every single virus has ended and we're still here, and there's been growth after every single one of them.
I always remember what you have said, Kendall, in the past, that if you believe in America and the whole concept of free enterprise and what capitalism has done for this country over a couple of hundred years, as long as you have that faith, you probably have made a wise decision to continue doing what you're doing. And let's face it, these losses, they're all paper. Mm-hmm. It's all paper. I mean, you would be foolish to sell anything right now. I mean, my God, that would be crazy.
Except when you can improve your situation. You know, the last month, everything is sold. Everything. And if you have some that the recovery or the thoughts of recovery are going to take substantially longer than another, you know, it's very easy. Or you can increase the quality. You can increase your cash flow from dividends. There's a number of things you can do today, which is an opportunity created from mass selling. And it's something we have practiced personally and with our clients for many, many years, and we'll continue to do that. We'll add to existing positions, or we'll sell something that might take a lot longer to recover. and replace it with something that has been thrown out, the baby with the bathwater, and purchase that. We haven't changed our allocation, and we won't, which means we'll continue to buy into this the further it goes down. Now, we've got a lot of cash, and it was just because, like I said, we were preparing for a partial sell-off, but nothing like this. This is gives us even a better opportunity as long as we believe America is going to continue to be capitalistic, which I think it will be.
So the market where it was before all this started, roughly 28,000. Your belief at that time was it's basically overpriced. I mean, there weren't any good bargains out there.
There weren't very many.
Yeah.
There were still some bargains, but not very many, and we were fairly close to fully invested for where we wanted to be. So, you know, and that's the valuations have always judged both our allocations and our investment decisions on what company. And there are, and our valuation model, we look out 3 to 5 years. So what we're looking at as far as our purchases today are saying, well, this business is going to be here 3 years from now. Is coronavirus going to take it to zero, or is it going to be gone and we're going to double our money in that time period? So, I mean, those are the questions. And, of course, you can't do that if you're buying the entire market like an index fund. Picking and choosing is the appropriate way to go today because, I mean, there are great companies that are down 50% in a month. Great companies.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the travel industry, which, you talk about taking it on the nose. They are taking it on the nose. You look at the airlines, which had been doing very, very well here recently. I mean, they've been growing their fleets, buying all these brand new airplanes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think about Boeing. Oh, my gosh. If Boeing, you talk about the 1-2 punch, they've been struggling with the 737 MAX, dealing with that issue, which is still unresolved. And then all of a sudden, this virus hits. All these flights are canceled. International routes, you ain't going anywhere there. They closed the U.S. and Canadian border today. I mean, what's going to be next? So would you look at a Boeing like right now as still a great company?
No, they're down, what, close to 25% of what they were, their high. So
well, their high was $380 or so, or closer to $400, and it's, what, under $100 today.
So that would be a good one to keep your eye on.
Well, I would look at it this way. So when we're looking at things, you need to look at, and this goes back to replacing quality in our portfolios, right?
Okay.
When we look at two similar businesses and we look at things, you need to understand this. I'm not calling for the end of Boeing at all, but what I am saying is that when you look at any different companies, you get to the point where you have to look at the risk involved in it, and it almost always comes down to lending. So the levels of lending of a company and them being able to get through any time kind of cash crunches that might present themselves, such as coronavirus or anything of that nature. So when we're looking at Boeing, Boeing is important to America. I mean, it's important to defense. It's important to, you know, life as we know it as Americans. So there would be, is there bailout money for them to help them bridge this gap? How well were they financed going into it? And they're going to be able to make this ends meet. But, I mean, it's just one of the things you look at. And when you're looking at quality, I mean, Boeing's a good quality company, but it's their certainty is a lot less than it was just a little while back.
And there's 100,000 employees that they employ, too, including a number in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, quite a number.
The part of the problems with the airline or the travel industry, or for that matter, right here in the restaurant business, is that the sales that are lost are not replaceable. They're not deferred. They're 100% gone. And that's the real problem or the unknown is how is it going to affect long term, because you won't make it up. You know, you can't. Where there are certain or a number of industries, when we look at them, they can continue manufacturing products because there'll be a build-up demand. Boom, you know, when this is over with, they'll get sold. But certain things that a room rent, if you get paid rent for a hotel room, if it's not rented, it's not something you're going to make up tomorrow or the next day. It's just out the window. And that's where the real concern we have. So much of America relies on small businesses, and the majority of small businesses just don't have the cash flow to go 3 or 4 weeks on a government-mandated shutdown with no revenues.
You know, this morning I was reading online the Charlotte Business Journal article on the restaurant industry up in North Carolina, which got shut down a day before we got shut down here. And the story was just awful, you know, laying off all these employees, closing the front doors, da-da-da-da-da. And in the article, it represents that the restaurant industry represents a little less than 12% of all the people employed across the country. Well, that's a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, for every sandwich that's not sold, that's gone.
Yeah. And, of course, the growers and the suppliers and everyone else. Now, that's why we're anticipating at least, and this comes from an economist that we respect, who's not really under the gun of having to produce something for the government.
Right.
You know, a minimum probably a 10% decline in GDP in the second quarter. Now, whether it's recoverable in the third or fourth, we don't know, but when it starts, it'll recover and recover, you know, what we would consider very quickly, and that'll be reflected in common stock prices.
And if it follows history, I mean, similarly, usually there is a really quick recovery following these big declines that are based on this. When things get back up and running, businesses, they, you know, things recover. Like Dad said, those profits will be lost, but once things get up and running, we'll see a sharp increase in GDP. I mean, think about it. If you can't go out and eat at a restaurant for a month, but that finally goes away and you're brave enough to go out, are you going to want to go eat at a restaurant?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's going to be a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well, with that being said, we want to tell you that things are still operating here at Substation 2, but a different way. Bottom line is the front door is open. You can come in, place your order, grab your sandwich, and you have to leave. All right, simple as that. Or if you'd rather do it through a third-party delivery service, you can go to mysubstation2.com and do all that kind of stuff, place your order, and that'll work. So we are open. We're operating. I've seen a steady stream of people coming in here getting their sandwiches, but once you get your drink and what have you, out the door you got to go because you're not allowed to dine in. And I think if more people would just continue their normal habits of getting a sandwich, getting whatever you're going to have, for lunch, you would be able to help the restaurant industry right here in our own town.
And you should.
And you should. Everyone. All right. And with that being said, we want to remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. As we just said, we're still open. Come on by, lunch, early dinner, whatever you want to have. But there's a magical reason that you should come by here that these two guys know and are going to join in with me to say it. Ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great sub or salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is now open. This is Michelle Walk, ED Director at Piedmont Medical Center. Gold Hill ED is Fort Mill's first standalone emergency room, open 24/7, 365, offering all the services of a hospital-based emergency room with 12 treatment areas. Whatever the medical issue, our team of emergency medical professionals is ready to treat your family, well, when it matters most. Stop by the ED at Gold Hill Road and pick up a free first aid kit. Visit goldhiller.com to learn more.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Edge Up. Edge Up is the newest and easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Edge Up today, and any purchases made with your Founders debit card may qualify for daily Edge Up transfers. Log into Founders online to enroll today. Relax, we're giving you an edge on your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Did you know Comporium's 1 gig ZipStream is up to 100 times faster than the average internet connection? ZipStream is designed to support multiple devices all at once without sacrificing speed. In fact, with ZipStream, you can download an entire HD movie in less than 10 seconds or 1,000 songs in about 30 seconds. And with ZipStream from Comporium, Who needs hard drives? Gigabit speed makes cloud storage practical and safer than a backup of a backup of a backup. Go online to Comporium.com to see if your neighborhood is Zipstream ready.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great supper salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Jerry Rode across from Winthrop. Kendall and Justin Anderson with us today from Anderson Griggs Portfolio Management in Rock Hill. And we've talked doom and gloom and what's going on with the stock market right now. Okay, so the obvious question is, where do we go from here? We just kind of sit back and just ride the storm. Is that it?
So Manny, I mean, in the past, that has always been the right answer. You don't sell in times when blood's running in the street, and our emotions are what's pushing those figures up and down, up and down, up and down, because it has, up until this point, always recovered. I can't say that's a definite. I mean, none of us can.
No, we can't.
But when we're looking at your investment portfolios, if you are a person who relies on the income that comes from that to meet your day-in and day-out needs, hopefully before this all came in, you were set accordingly to meet those needs. And there, that means there was balance in the portfolio for you to be able to weather times like this. Maybe not times this drastic. So for those of you that's the case, you know, hopefully you have someone you work with and you're working through this, and possibly little changes need to be made. The longer it goes on, the more you might have to take actual direct action. But for the most part, for most people, if you're able to, your needs are not going to be so great on the portfolio that you're going to be able to get through this without making huge drastic changes, the market's not going to go to zero. You're not going to lose it all.
You might want to take a second and just explain what you mean by balance for those who don't know that term.
The combination of risky assets with risk-free assets. You combine the two together, and they're going to balance at some point. You know, 50-50 would be balancing right in the middle.
Right.
You know, and of course, the way we do it, we base it almost exclusively on what risk-free rate of return we can get. Today, which is something we haven't talked about, but the 10-year Treasury will pay you 1.2% or thereabouts for a year for the next 10 years. Now, that's our base for risk-free assets. Say, there we are, risk-free. If we look at common stocks that have the possibility of a coronavirus scare or the possibility of a 30% rate of return upside, we measure that against each other, and that's how we weight it. And that's going to be dependent on what people's needs are. So if they need cash flow, we'd love to get it all from 1% interest. That means they must have a lot of money and spend very little. But that's not necessarily always the case, so we have to add a little bit of risk in the portfolio. Market risk is different than other types of risk. That is, like you were saying, it's paper. Well, it paper, but it represents, you know, the current price of what you can receive if you sold everything. So it's real in that respect. We want to make sure we have enough excess returns outside of that type of investment to meet the ongoing monthly needs of our clients.
So we're not forced to sell.
So we don't have to sell.
In fact,
we'd like to have a little extra, because the only time you can take opportunities when they happen is you got to be able to do that. In order to buy today, you need some cash.
Yeah.
So.
And look, everyone's situation is going to be different, but a very hard acid test you can look at your portfolio and my needs and is it supported is, look at that balance side. How much money is there to support my monthly withdrawal to be able to live the way I am now? And in a lot of cases, depending on what your accounts look like and everything, if that looks like 2 years, 3 years, can you really envision the coronavirus and the scare we're feeling now 3 years out from here?
No, I cannot.
And I wish I was one of the youngsters in this audience here, because I know that I'm not going to need anything for many, many years in the future. I sure wouldn't be a seller.
Yeah.
I'd just be accumulating. If you're 401k and you're young, you're adding to your 401, keep adding to it and don't make changes there based on six months. Because 5 years down the road, we'll be in great shape, just like America has promised forever, and it will happen again.
All right, so the Federal Reserve decides, I'm going to help out everybody. I'm going to lower the discount rate to somewhere between 0 and 0.25%. basically free money.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised that that didn't seem to have the kind of impact that they were hoping it would have?
When you have panic and fear that you're going to die, whatever happens in interest rates are not going to make a bit of a difference. And I know that may be kind of, you know, tough for people to say, but the prices that we're seeing here, a lot of the things the Fed does will allow for an increase in liquidity, meaning if you do want to sell, you've got somebody to sell to. And, you know, simple, very simple terms, markets go down because there's a lack of buyers and a whole lot of sellers. And in the last 3 or 4 weeks, all we've had were sellers, and that's happened in areas that the Fed can have some input in. That's in the credit markets and the bond markets. And they've been pretty good at allowing those trading activities to continue simply from the cash inflow. Fiscal policy is what's going to help individual investors, and we have no idea what that'll do. We hear it. Let's send everybody helicopter money, which is give everybody a check. But you know, Mr. Kimmel, it'll only be given to some people and not me and you.
You know, you would think, though, that with the interest rates down as far as they are and the mortgage interest rates dropping again,
right,
that a lot of people would go out there, refinance their house, and either take that cash and spend it on something else, maybe adding on to the house or buying a new house or maybe putting it into the market. I mean, I guess there is a positive from that, is there not?
There is. I'm sure eventually it's going to get to that point. But for right now, our you know, uncontrolled fears are what's ruling the day. And that's when you look at that, the reason the stimulus and things like that didn't make the markets go up is because it doesn't get rid of the fear that the virus is having on us. But people are going to be able to benefit from these low rates. And the reason the Fed is doing this, look, right now what's going on is this is the cost of making sure that the virus doesn't last as long as it would have if we didn't do all these things, if we didn't close down, if we didn't reduce gatherings of people.
Exactly.
And we're gonna have a short-term cost for a longer-term benefit by reducing the expense it would have had if we just had let everyone go willy-nilly.
Yeah. And a lot of our work in the last couple of weeks is trying to help determine what that cost is.
Right.
And it's still an open-ended question. Like I said, preliminary said 10% of GDP. We don't know. It could be higher if the costs continue to go up. Those costs are lost revenues, lost profits, lost opportunity, and bankruptcies. As far as financing homes, we've gone through the biggest boom in refinancing in the last 3 weeks than we've had for as long as I can count.
So we went into this really, really strong. Our economy has been booming. And, you know, we've been looking at this about millennials buying homes versus renting and things like that. They were really on the path of buying homes. And right now, hey, look, things are looking even better.
Yeah, I was going to say. If you just bought a house 3 or 4 months ago, you might want to reconsider.
People have refinanced 3, 4, and 5 times in the last 5 years because rates continue to drop. And so I can't see that necessarily stopping, especially if you already own a house.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they'd quit building next door to me because bulldozers making a lot of noise in the morning.
All right. So as we bring all this to a conclusion, the bottom line is just hold on. Let's ride on through this thing. Don't panic. We've been down this road before. Just think about Hurricane Hugo. Think about the 9/11. Think about the mortgage meltdown back in whatever it was, 08 or something.
That's right.
Think about how we've been through these crises before, and we'll get through it again. Okay, thanks, guys, for being here. I appreciate that. Again, I want to remind everybody that Substation 2 is open. The door is wide open. There's a sign there. You just simply come in, get your order processed, and you just need to take it with you and dine out. You're not allowed to dine in here. Or if you want to call it in, they'll take the information over the phone, or you can just go the computer route. Go to mysubstation2.com, and they'll even have a third-party deliverer bring it to you if that's the way you want to do it. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, just to remind you why it's so important to keep coming here to Substation 2, I've got two of the best voices here in Rock Hill, the Anderson Boys, who are going to tell you how we do the magical thing we do here at Substation 2. At the count of three, one, two, three, slice, slice, slice,
garden, 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 garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.